This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone. I'm Scott Moore, filling in for Earl Robinson this afternoon on Sports Talk 870 WKAR. Our phone number, as always, is 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR. Or you can call toll-free at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. Got a full show packed for today. Three guests coming up, and if you have any questions while we're talking with those guests, please go ahead and give us a call, and we'll do our best to answer them. We're going to start things off in my comfort zone. Spartan hockey getting back underway this weekend with a trip up to Big Rapids to face the Bulldogs of Ferris State University, one of three games against Ferris in the next five for Michigan State. And to help break down the Spartan hockey season so far and the matchup this weekend, I have invited my broadcast partner, the yin to my yang, the come on to my it's a goal for Michigan State. Yes, Rob Woodward joins us on the phone. Rob, how you doing today?
Good afternoon.
Good to hear your voice again, Rob. I couldn't go with a Friday night without hearing you.
I know. When you called me this morning, Scott, and I'm like, well, wait a second, we're not going to be on the air tonight. We've got to make sure we do something, get our hockey fixed somehow. So happy to join you.
Exactly. Well, the Spartans coming off an unsatisfying Great Lakes Invitational, kind of a mixed bag of results. You take on a top 10 team in Western Michigan, take them 65 minutes in with a 1-1 tie, of course, coming up to get that tie in the last 16 seconds of the game. But, so everybody's feeling good, and then everybody's feeling pretty good after two periods against Michigan. It's just that last period kind of leaves a sour taste in your mouth.
Yeah, it was kind of a roller coaster of emotions, I guess, if you will, this weekend, Scott. I mean, you and I were talking about after the game against Western on Saturday night, you know, it really felt like a loss. And technically, I guess, you know, it really wasn't a loss because when all is said and done, that counts as a tie. And that's a good tie for our team when it comes down to NCAA and the pairwise rankings. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we've got to get some more wins in the second half to be talking about that, but you know that could be a very good tie for us. But it did feel like a loss, obviously, because we didn't make the championship game, and it was unfortunate that that was the way that game was decided. We all knew the rules going into it, but nonetheless, it didn't make it that much. You know, it didn't make it any easier to swallow. And then, yeah, the Michigan game, boy, we played two really good periods, and then unfortunately, just couldn't finish in the last 20 minutes against the Michigan team. We know can put the goals in the net. They haven't been as powerful as of late, I think, Scott. You know, they're having their own struggles down there in Ann Arbor, just like we are here. But boy, to play so well for two periods and then not be able to finish, it was disappointing.
We're talking with Rob Woodward, my color analyst on the Spartan Network for Michigan State Hockey. Yeah, the whole situation in Ann Arbor is just confusing because that's a team that has all the talent. I mean, you match them up talent-wise with anybody else in the league, they're right up there, but they just have been underperforming all season.
Well, they've been underperforming, Scott. You know, they were missing a guy that was playing in the World Juniors. But, you know, I think, and you know this as well, you know, one of their weaknesses this year has been goaltending. They just haven't been able to, get that guy in net that we've seen in the past that Michigan has had, you know. And when you come back up to East Lansing, boy, that has not been a problem for us. Jake Hildebrand has just been playing fantastic for the Spartans. You know, I think you and I were saying this weekend, I think it's fair to say that he's definitely taken over the number one job in net for Spartans.
Yeah, definitely, and even though he did have his problems in that third period, I got the impression, at least it felt to me while we were there, Rob, that that wasn't so much what was going on with Jake Hildebrand. It was just that Michigan scored so quickly in that third period that the guys were kind of back on their heels a little bit, taken by surprise.
Well, we did. You know, unfortunately, we had a couple bad turnovers. We got confused a couple times in the defensive zone, And when you do that to a team like Michigan, as you said, Scott, they may be struggling, but they still have some very skilled guys up front. You know, they're going to take advantage of those mistakes. And unfortunately, that's been happening a lot to us this year. When you look at the past games, you know, we make a mistake, and unfortunately, the other team just takes advantage of it and gets a goal. You know, it's not just giving up a chance or an opportunity or a good shot on that. They're scoring on those mistakes that we make. And I think when we head into the second half, that's something that, you know, the coaching staff obviously is going to concentrate on. Obviously, you know, yeah, we need to score more goals, but I think we need to make sure that, you know, when we do make a mistake, there's a guy there to help out his teammate and not give up those goals.
Exactly.
On those critical mistakes.
Exactly. And again, we're talking with Rob Woodward, the color analyst for Spartan Hockey. If you've got a question for either Rob or myself, you can call 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR. Or you can call toll-free at 877-952-7870. Let's talk a little bit about the second half. The first half, we have been on the road so much through the first half of the season, and now it's time to settle in and play a few games at Munn Ice Arena.
Well, yeah, home cooking. I think that's just what the doctor ordered, Scott. I think it's 13 of our first 20 games or something like that were away from home.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a nice long stretch here in the second half of plenty of games at Munn Arena. And you know what? When you look at it, the crowds for the few home games that we have had have been absolutely fantastic.
Oh, by all means.
Yeah, and you hear Tom and Nassa talking about it. You hear all the players talk about it. And they're not just saying it, Scott. I mean, it's something that they really feed on. And I remember being a player here and playing in front of a packed house at Munn, and it was awesome. And hopefully we can continue that here to start the second half. You know, we've got Notre Dame coming in, and that's going to be a great series. You know, to kind of go back to that, the first half of the season, you know, there's a lot of games besides the Minnesota series, which was the first series of the year,
mm-hmm.
that we were really in. I mean, we didn't really get – even that Michigan game when we lost, I think it was 5-1 down in Ann Arbor, that game was a lot closer than a 5-1 score.
Oh,
you know, so when you think about it, boy, if we can just get an extra goal here or there or, you know, not give up the goals on our mistakes that people are taking advantage of, we've been in a lot of games. I mean, the margin of error is so small for this team, and you've heard TA talk about that. If we change some little things here and there, you know, this could be a nice little run we go on here in the second half. And when you look at the standings, you know, to get up into the top five, which is kind of our goal right now, you know, as Tom and Anderson said as a team, we're really not that far away from fifth place Lake Superior State at 21 points, and we have a game on them. And yeah, we're down at
right.
ninth place, you know, with 13 points. But remember, we get 3 points for a win. So the way it's been, right, Scott, the last few years, I mean, this is going to go down probably right to the end of CCA series. Maybe not for the first, second, and third place teams, but I think people scrambling for positions and playoff spots, it's going to be fun to watch.
Well, you know, going into the season, as I was thinking about this team, you always wish the best for the team, and you always have to keep positive about them. But, you know, when you looked at senior night last year and you saw all those bodies at center ice, and then Torrey Krug decides to go pro early, and nothing against Torrey for doing that. He was ready for it. You know, you just look at all of the new faces on this team, and early in the season with all those road games, you're thinking, boy, the deck is really stacked against these guys.
Well, you're right, Scott. And Torrey Krug was just such a huge loss. I mean, not only for his leadership abilities, but obviously, I mean, you know, he ends up tied for the scoring title in the CCHA as a defenseman. So we lost a lot of scoring punch with Torrey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then exactly, you add all the new guys that we have in the lineup this year, and it's a different game, you know, when you play college compared to juniors. And, you know, I think a lot of these guys are finding it out. And it's not easy to put the puck in the net. Obviously, the guys are bigger, they're stronger, the goalies are usually better as well. So, you know, it does take time. You know, we might not have the innate scoring and offensive skills maybe some teams in the past. You know, I think TA, he shook the lines up a little bit this weekend. He had some different guys on the right side playing. Mm-hmm. And he's going to look to see what kind of combinations might work. You know, obviously we've had that line of of Darnell and DeBlau and Barry that has stayed pretty consistent for Michigan State, and that's our top line, obviously, for sure. But I think it'll be interesting to see what kind of combinations he comes up with. You know, are there a whole lot he can do? I'm not sure. But, again, we'll have to wait and see what he's got planned. And I know, you know, one of the other things, Scotty, that we have to work on and get going, I think it's been since that December game against Notre Dame, December 7th was the last power play goal we've got. So that obviously has to get going. As well for us to, you know, give us a chance to win some games.
As you look at the team and you look at the stats on the team, you know, of course, Matt Barry, that whole line that you just talked about stands out. Matt Barry, though, really on the last three or four games has really started to come into his own. It actually was starting late last season, and then it kind of cooled off a little bit in the early part, but he's starting to realize his potential now, I think.
Well, he is. You know, he's got 11 goals here in the first half, and that's not too bad at all. 7 assists for 18 points. And when you watch Matt, you're right, Scott, I think you can just see the confidence in him growing. And that's a huge factor, you know, when you start getting up to this level of hockey, because the skill level starts, you know, flattening off. You're always going to have your great guys, and you're going to have guys maybe a little bit lower. But it really starts flattening off the more you progress in the game of hockey. And Matt's confidence is really growing. And plus, he's putting himself in good positions. You recall this weekend, he got himself an open spot where the puck was going to be, allowed him to have that one easy goal. But it was easy because he got to the right position. And
right.
I think that's what Tom Anastas and Kelly Miller and Tom Newton really are hammering home to these guys. Is, hey, you got to get to the net, get in these open spots. And, you know, we're not going to have the pretty goals this year. They're going to be few and far between. So we just got to be that lunch bucket, you know, bring your lunch to work, get a little dirty type team, and that's how we're going to score our goals. But, yeah, Matt Barry, absolutely good to see him. You know, you got to give the credit to his linemates as well. I mean, Darnell and Matt DeBlau, the freshman, he's been really top-notch in the middle for us, especially when it comes to draw. You look at DeBlau and Reimer, and those guys are our top two faceoff guys. And for a freshman in this league, that's pretty good.
Talking with Rob Woodward, the color analyst on our Spartan Hockey broadcast. And, Rob, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit here. Yep, it's time. It's time.
I got to go, Scotty.
as you look at the team this year, who has stood out to you that's been kind of a surprise?
Well, I think first and foremost, you got to say Jake Hildebrand. I know we already talked about him, but you know, for a freshman goalie to come in and take over like that, that's been a very pleasant surprise. And as you and I were saying over the weekend down at the GLI, it's not really that Will lost that starting job. And, you know, I don't want to say his starting job, but, you know, Jake, he's been playing the most for it.
Yeah.
And, again, I think it's more because of the play, his play, meaning Jake, as opposed to, you know, Will not playing well. He's still going to get his chances this year, and he's going to get it, and he's going to do very well for us. He's also a top-notch goaltender.
Yes, he is.
I think it's probably our strongest position on the team at the moment. You know what? I like the way John Drager has played back on the point for Michigan. They have another freshman for us. You know, Matt Grassi, I think, has had a pretty solid season as well. Travis Walsh keeps getting better and better the more playing time he gets. So I think, you know, that being said, when you look at our team, you know, what has been a pleasant surprise, I think it's really probably been our goaltending and our defense overall.
All right, Rob. Well, I'm going to let you go because I know you got some stuff going on this afternoon. I will see you in Big Rapids tomorrow evening.
Yeah, excited. We're getting to know these Bulldogs quite intimately. The next
yes, we are.
It's always fun up there, Scotty. I appreciate it. Go Green.
All right. Thank you very much. That's Rob Woodward, the color analyst on the Spartan Network, and he and I will be paired up tomorrow up in Big Rapids for Michigan State hockey, Michigan State versus Ferris, one of the few road games in this second half of the season. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be back with Mo Gerhart, the color analyst for women's basketball at Michigan State. So stay with us here on Sports Talk, or we'll be back with more Sports Talk. See, I had to find the little sheet on the desk there. We'll be back with more Sports Talk after this short break on AM 870.
2012 saw a hello to the Higgs boson and a goodbye to Lonesome George, a new rover exploring Mars, and a robot controlled by thought. I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday for a look back on 2012 in science. What are your picks for the top science stories of the year? That's on Science Friday from NPR.
That's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 right here on AM 870.
Good afternoon. I'm Scott Pohl, and here's the weather. Our high will be 27 degrees, and it'll become mostly sunny today. Partly cloudy tonight, the low 22. Saturday, a high of 32, mostly to partly sunny tomorrow. Mostly cloudy Sunday, and maybe snow with a high in the low 30s.
Thank you very much, Scott Pohl. And actually, we're a bunch of overachievers today. We're already up to 33 degrees this afternoon with mostly sunny skies. And this is Sports Talk on News Talk 870 WKAR. Our phone number is 355-9527, or you can call toll-free at 877-952-7870. Well, from hockey, we move on to women's basketball. And I am pleased to welcome Mo Gerhart to the show. Mo, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Scott. And speaking of overachieving, I think that's a great segue to lead right into this women's basketball team.
You know what? You're right. It certainly is, because this is a team that a lot of people had plenty of questions about coming into the season, and they have answered those questions in all but one area, the national rankings. Why isn't this team nationally ranked, Mo?
A couple reasons for that. They're still searching for that first real signature victory, and this Sunday, that's obviously, I know we can talk about it, but that's going to be a great calling card and opportunity for that signature win. The other factor in that, as we all know in the rankings, in order to move up, the people above you also have to lose. And that's been a little bit of a contributing factor, is the people sort of at the bottom of those national rankings in the 15 to 25 range haven't had very many losses of their own, so there's no reason for them to drop down. But this Sunday will be a perfect opportunity for Michigan State to make some more noise.
Well, the Spartans did make a little bit of noise just last night with a big win at home against Minnesota to open the Big Ten season. Were you surprised by the final margin of victory? Because Minnesota's not a bad team.
Oh, definitely not. I mean, it was one of those games where you look, you know, 5 minutes left to go, it was still in doubt in lots of ways, almost like the men's game against Minnesota. And then over those last 4 minutes or so, we really pulled away. And some of that was, it was only the second road game for Minnesota this season, so they hadn't really experienced a hostile arena, and that's exactly what the Breslin Center was.
As far as personnel on this team, I know that there have been a slew of injuries early in the season, so Susie Merchant's team kind of had the scale tipped against them to begin with. But it almost seems like with the injuries that she's had, she's doing this with smoke and mirrors. She's just kind of cobbled a team together again that's getting the job done.
Right. I mean, definitely this group has really gelled, and they all know their roles. They also know they have to, you know, step it up another notch when one player goes down. It's that next man up mentality. And I'm not sure if I would go all the way with smoke and mirrors, because that's implying somewhat that the talent level isn't there. And it definitely is. It's just players now that have had the opportunity are being able to show it, and also then following through with that potential and making it a reality.
We're talking with Mo Gerhart. He does the color on Spartan women's basketball, along with Keaton Galogli, our new play-by-play guy for women's basketball. He's doing a nice job.
He's doing a great job. Definitely someone that does his homework, definitely well-trained and well-schooled. And, you know, it takes a while with any partnership to get a feel for each other, but I really felt, just as any team, last night we had one of our best performances without tripping over each other. And he's a great play-by-play guy.
Yeah, one of the things about this women's basketball team that I noticed is, as I look at the stat sheets, the margin of victory is pretty consistently almost 20 points, you know, when you look at the averages.
Yeah, it's been amazing, and the majority of that you wouldn't say is really due to their offense, but it's because of their defense. Going into the game last night, they had the number one scoring defense in the nation, about a half game better than UConn. And anyone that knows women's basketball is familiar with that UConn program. So anytime that you can top them in a stat, that's saying something. But, I mean, they've just been phenomenal on defense, and that's a staple of Susie Merchant. You know, when you play for her, you're going to be playing defense.
Who are the ones that are really sticking out as far as defensive play? I would imagine Courtney Schiffauer would be, because I've watched her play, and she's just tenacious.
Yeah, she's one of those players, sort of the grit and glue, you know, doing the dirty work, not afraid to dive on the floor, get some of those floor burns. So that's one the fans always pick out right away. And I mean, there's a reason that she has the Mad Dog nickname. She really takes that to heart. But Jasmine Thomas, not many people realize, but she was actually named the defensive player of the team last year at their banquet. So she already came in with that resume, and she's one of those lockdown guards. And also Clarissa Bell, you have to give her credit. Didn't necessarily buy into defense her freshman year, which is why some of those minutes were limited for her. But the reason she's on the floor now is because not only has she stepped up her game on defense, but she is a top defender, and many nights has actually matched up with the leading scorer on the other team.
Mo, I know that there were a few girls that were suspended at the start of the season, and I applaud Susie Merchant for taking that step and pushing the responsibility that they have to have. How has it been since they've rejoined the lineup, and how have they, you know, because this was a team that was pretty much hitting on all cylinders before then.
Right, and it's one of those things, too, I want to talk just for a second. The two girls that were suspended are great girls. It was an unfortunate circumstance. They definitely were in the wrong, but there was nothing on MSU's part as far as anything that happened there. There was nothing that tilted to a competitive advantage, but It was a learning experience for them. And like you said, also applaud Susie Merchant for making them pay the consequences.
Yep.
Now, on the bright side of that is during those suspensions, they were still allowed to practice. So it wasn't quite the same scenario as someone with an injury where all of a sudden they're brought back into the mix. These two girls have been practicing that whole time, so they were familiar with what was going on. They had been able to get into those rotations, and then credit the players that had been playing all along. They definitely welcomed them back. If anything, they needed a couple more players coming off that bench due to the injuries. They were so thin. And for one game, Susie Merchant could only go with basically a six-man rotation. just being able to have those legs, it's improved everyone. Because they're not tired at the end of the game.
Well, over the first part of the season, you look at the names, and you know, I have to admit, I focus more on hockey. I'm not a guru on women's basketball, but you look at names like Virginia Tech that was on the early schedule with the game here in East Lansing, North Carolina State. That's a recognizable name for women's basketball, and then the tournament that they played in Las Vegas. I know you weren't there, but having Texas Tech on that one and gutting out that overtime win against Texas Tech, you would think that those kind of wins would be starting to get people's attention.
Well, they are receiving votes in the poll, so it's not as if they haven't been able to do that yet. But, their one loss this year was at Dayton that was a ranked team.
Right.
And so that's a quality loss, you could say. But that was the one opportunity where on the national scale, they would have been able to get a little bit more of that recognition. It just comes down, I think, right now to being able to pick up that first victory over a ranked opponent. They'll have plenty of opportunity to do that in the Big Ten, because for women's basketball this year, the Big Ten is one of the top countries in the nation. Going in conference season began two nights ago, and at that point, if you look nationwide, the Big Ten had a winning record or was 500 preseason against every conference in the nation. The only conference where it was 500 was against the Big 12. Where the Big Ten fared 3-3, but every other conference, the Big Ten had an over 500 record, which definitely is an advantage on the RPIs and come seeding time for the national tournament.
We're talking with Mo Gerhart, who does color commentary on the Spartan women's basketball broadcast. And as we move into conference play, I was going to ask you, there's been so much focus on the Big Ten men's conference and how dominating it is shaping up to be. A lot of people saying that the Big Ten may be the best conference for men's basketball. But for those of us who don't know a whole lot about women's basketball, who are the power teams in the Big Ten this year?
Yeah, and the Big Ten, definitely right now, nationally, Penn State is getting all the recognition, and rightfully so. They are the defending conference champions and basically returned their whole squad. Alex Bentley, their point guard, is up for National Player of the Year. Same with a couple other players on their squad as far as all-conference. So they're definitely stacked. Also had McDonald's All-America freshman come in at the center position. So they are loaded, and they can score with anyone. The question on Penn State has always been, will they defend? When they defend, that's when they're, an elite program and an elite team. But that's always been a question with them. Otherwise, there's going to be a logjam at the top with Purdue, Ohio State, Michigan State, Iowa, lots of programs, Nebraska. They all could make some noise. Last year, 7 teams out of the Big Ten actually made it into the NCAA tournament, which was the most ever for the Big Ten Conference. And the way things are going right now, there's no reason to think that it should be any different this year.
Well, you mentioned Penn State. They are next up for the Spartans, so this Sunday is shaping up as a real kind of breakwater moment here.
Without a doubt. I mean, it's a perfect opportunity. And actually, when you look over the course of the last few seasons, the one team, Penn State, has not been able to beat has been Michigan State. We've really had their number, and I credit that once again to defense. Susie Merchant is one of the best X and O coaches in the Big Ten. She's not afraid to make adjustments at halftime. She's been able to shut down Penn State, and as I mentioned, the way they beat the teams is simply by outscoring them, and they haven't been able to score against us. So that's been really a roadblock in their perfection as far as Big Ten conference play, and hopefully we can see the same thing this Sunday at the Breslin Center.
Well, Mo, I hope that you enjoy the games this season, and I hope that you're having a great time on Sunday at the Breslin Center with Michigan State versus Penn State.
Definitely, me too. And for all the fans out there, come over to the Breslin Center. It's a great atmosphere. If you haven't been to a women's basketball game, strongly encourage it. Usually they have the upper bowl closed off, so it makes for a very intimate setting.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of noise when they do that, too. A great crowd for Michigan State.
Averaging over, what was it, over 4,000 a game, is it?
Yeah, and that's actually down from prior seasons.
Uh-huh.
And numbers usually do go up, obviously, once the Big Ten starts.
Sure.
But Michigan State, over the last decade, consistently has been in the top 15 nationally. And over the last 4 years, actually has cracked the top 10 in attendance. So great support here in East Lansing, but we always can take new fans anytime that we can get them.
Hey, with a team like Penn State coming in, this is a great time to get yourselves familiarized with Susie Merchant's team.
That's right. I have the local products here from East Lansing and Clarissa Bell, also other players from around the state and around the area. So great opportunity. If you have their kids, bring them. It's a great way to spend a Sunday afternoon.
Hey, before I let you go, I'll ask you the same question I asked Rob Woodward at the end of his interview. Who on this team this year has surprised you? Not necessarily a freshman, maybe an upperclassman that has raised their game a little bit. Who's been the big standout that you didn't expect to see?
Well, I would say an X factor or a standout in some ways to me has been Annalise Pickerel, the junior out of Grand Rapids. She came in with the same recruiting class as Clarissa Bell and Madison Williams. So she was sort of overshadowed by those two in high school. But I remember watching her actually at the Breslin Center in the high school finals, also tape on her. And I felt she had the most potential out of those three. Has been blocked at her position by other players in her career. But this year is getting the opportunity. She's a 6'3 guard swing player that can shoot it from the outside and can also post up down low. Right now, averaging double-digit points per game. She had shoulder surgery in the offseason. That impacted her rebounding a little bit, but now she's finally been cleared, so she can go get it. And I've nicknamed her the Forrest Gump of the team because she can just run like a deer all night long. So much stamina, and she loves it, too. Susie Merchant said she never has to worry about Annalise's conditioning. It's one of those rare athletes that can go from the tip-off all the way to the final buzzer.
The one thing I'm looking at the team stats here, Mo, and the one thing that stands out with Annalise is that she hardly ever goes to the free throw line.
Right, and that's one area of her game that she does need to work on.
She needs to kind of charge into the lane a little bit.
That's right. Utilize that pump fake from the 3-point line because right now she is their most reliable 3-point shooter. So once you can get that pump fake, get her defender up in the air, drive to the basket, that will be just sort of that triple threat that she can include, and she'll be the complete player at that point because she's able to post up with her back to the basket and shoot the 3-point shot, so get that dribble drive, and she'll be a nightmare for defenders.
I mean, just for you folks listening, in 14 games, she's only attempted 7 free throws, so a half a free throw a game. And the other players that have played 14 games or started 14 games are up in 30s and 50s and all that. So there's a little bit of work to do there, but I did notice, I saw a couple of games early on in the season and did notice that she was a player that could either get inside or get outside, a dual threat, so to speak.
Exactly. In high school, she played primarily the 2 position at guard, but had to play some positions at MSU from injuries each year, whether it was, to Madison Williams, LaKendra Johnson, all different injuries that MSU's faced over the last few years. Because of her height, she's had to play down low, which really has helped her game at this point because now she's not afraid to play with her back to the basket. And like you said, once she adds that dribble drive component to her game, he really will be that triple threat that you hear about all the time.
You know, you brought up Madison Williams' name, and I just feel so sorry for her because of what she's gone through, but it always looks like she's still smiling.
Yeah, that's just one of those unbelievable character kids. As much talent as she has in basketball, that's just a small microcosm of who she is as a person. Just one of those kids, you know, that you would have, you would let her to be your babysitter of your own kids, whatever mm-hmm. it is. Just unbelievable. Just a great faith in God, too. That's what's really gotten her through, these injuries. She'd be the first person to say, cheers on her teammates, does everything that you need and want. It really is unfortunate she has had the knee problems that she's incurred in. It's still a question mark whether or not Spartan fans will ever be able to see the Madison Williams that we know the potential was always there for.
Yeah, I certainly hope that she catches a break and can actually get out there and play a couple of games.
Exactly. If there was ever a kid that deserved a break, it definitely is Madison Williams.
Definitely, definitely. Well, Mo Gerhart, keep doing a great job on those Spartan women's basketball broadcasts, and we'll be listening for you on Sunday afternoon.
My pleasure. Like I said, let's fill that Breslin Center, cheer on these Lady Spartans, and hopefully they can bring home a Big Ten crown to here in East Lansing.
All right. Thanks, Mo.
Thank you, Scott.
All right. That's Mo Gerhart from the women's basketball broadcast. Does a great job with the color commentary along with Keaton Gologli, our new play-by-play guy for Spartan women's basketball. It is now 1:36 in the afternoon. We'll go open line for a little bit here before we have to take our next break. Coming up, we'll be talking with Adam Ruff from the Spartan Network. See, we're going all Spartans here today, all Spartan radio, actually. Adam Ruff, part of the broadcast team for MSU basketball. We'll talk basketball, men's basketball, with him in a little bit. But if you have a question or a comment you want to make, go ahead and give us a call at 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR. Or you can call toll-free at 877-952-7870. That's toll-free at 877-WKAR-870. And it doesn't have to be about Michigan State. If you don't want to talk about Michigan State, if you want to talk about some of the things going on around the world of sports today, you know, of course, there's all the talk about whether the NHL and the Players Association is actually going to get something worked out. If you want to talk about that, if you've got an opinion on that, go ahead and give us a call at 355-9527. Or if you've got an opinion on what's going to happen in the NFL playoffs, which start this weekend with a whole bunch of games. We got the wild card round going on this week. And if you've got an opinion or a question about that, go ahead and give us a call. Again, the phone number is 355-9527 or toll-free 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. It is 1:38 on a Friday afternoon. Hope you're having a great Friday afternoon out there. And we'll be going on with some more of our sports talk in just a moment. One thing that I wanted to point out, we were just talking women's basketball. They just recently were able to announce the start time for Sunday's game against Penn State over at the Breslin Center. They had been holding on that because of uncertainty over who was going to qualify in the NFL playoffs and what times those playoff games were going to go. So when they finally got everything all worked out, then TV stepped in and they said, all right, here's what we're going to do. And the Michigan State game against Penn State is going to tip off on Sunday afternoon at 2:15. That's kind of an odd time. Usually you're either at the top or the bottom of the hour, but this one's going to be a 2:15 tip, so the coverage on the radio will start at 2 p.m., but head on over to the Breslin Center and see this team in person. You won't be disappointed. They bring it every single night. And then Michigan State hockey is on the road this weekend against Ferris State. That one will be on the air at 4:30 on Saturday. Just the one game this weekend, Michigan State hockey at Ferris, 4:30 airtime. It'll be a 5:05 face-off at the Avoglavin Ice Arena in Big Rapids. We're going to take another break, and we will be back with Adam Ruff from the Spartan Sports Network. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on WKAR AM 870.
How do Arctic fish avoid becoming swimming ice cubes? Antifreeze, of course, in their blood. I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday for a look at the weird adaptations of cold dwellers, plus a trip to the clouds where comets are born, and food shortages in a hotter, drier climate. All on Science Friday from NPR.
That is Talk of the Nation coming up at 3 right here on AM 870 WKAR Radio.
We're expecting a high of 27 today, and it'll become mostly sunny. Partly cloudy with a low tonight in the low 20s. Mostly to partly sunny and a high of 32 tomorrow. Looking ahead to Sunday, a chance of snow and mostly cloudy with a high staying in the low 30s. I'm Scott Pohl.
Thank you very much, Scott Pohl. And that temperature has leapfrogged all the way up to 35 degrees now in the capital city. We are a bunch of overachievers. We've beat the forecasted high. Well, we will turn our page now from women's basketball to men's basketball and welcome in Adam Ruff, who does a great job on the pregame, halftime, and postgame for our Spartan Sports Network. Adam, good to have you on the show today, and good to talk to you again for the first time in, an hour and a half or so.
Yeah, I was going to say, long time no talk, Scott, but hey, I don't mind talking to you, I guess.
You don't mind talking, that's for sure.
Well, I guess it runs with our company then.
I guess it does, and that's probably a good thing since we're all in radio.
Absolutely. But I am always ready to talk Spartan basketball, that's for sure.
Indeed. Well, Michigan State had a disappointing Big Ten start on Monday afternoon up in Minneapolis. A very, very close game. Nothing really to complain about through the first 33, 34 minutes of that game. It was just the last 5 minutes, the wheels kind of came off for the guys.
Yeah, you know, they played pretty well. I mean, that wasn't exactly a 13-point spread like the final score indicates. Mm-hmm. It was. I mean, Michigan State, they just struggled down the stretch getting rebounds, and what offensive rebounds in particular. And what happened is Minnesota grabbed those boards, and they got out and ran really well. And MSU's transition defense suffered a little bit, and then Minnesota just pulled away as a result. Plus, the fouls were in Minnesota's favor as well down the stretch, and so they got some transition baskets, and they got some free throws, and suddenly a 5-point Michigan State lead turned into a 13-point loss in the last 9:22. But I don't think at all the final score was indicative of how Michigan State played for at least 20 minutes of that game. I'd say they played pretty well.
You know, and it was a situation where Michigan State had to go on the road. Williams Arena, very, very difficult place to play. And when you put that game on New Year's Eve in the afternoon, everybody was already juiced up because it was a day off for a lot of them. So you get a matinee, and that joint was jumping on Monday.
Yeah, you know, and I think the game was very, very, very important to Minnesota. Obviously, mm-hmm. It was important to Michigan State, but for Minnesota, they'd only had one loss heading into conference play in 5 out of the last 6 years. So this was, you know, a common theme for them where they'd start strong, and yet they did not finish above 500 in conference play since Tubby Smith arrived there. So this game was extra important for them, especially for the fans, considering that they've had their hopes up so many times in recent years. And so this was kind of a validation game for Minnesota. So I'm not exactly surprised they won the game. I'm a little surprised based on how it finished. But outside of that, I don't think it's a big shock that Michigan State lost. But I don't think it's going to really damage what Michigan State will be able to accomplish moving forward.
Have you been surprised, Adam, and we're talking with Adam Ruff from the Spartan Sports Network, part of the basketball broadcast team. Have you been surprised at all by the fact that Michigan State started off before Big Ten play at 11-2 on the season, even though they no longer had Draymond Green, who was so much a part of that team and that success last year?
Well, you know, a little bit, but I think 11-2 was probably what we thought from this team, and maybe 12-1, possibly. But 11-2 was pretty nice. I mean, with Draymond Green last year, he obviously, like you mentioned, he did just about everything, and his leadership obviously is the biggest thing that would be missed. But a fairly young team last year, has grown up a little bit more, and they've added a couple of very talented freshmen. So I don't think I'm especially surprised from that aspect, considering their schedule. I mean, we think there are two losses to UConn, a team that's not in the top 25, but they're playing all right, and they'll probably make the NCAA tournament. Then Miami, a team that was 9-1 before they lost a couple of games because their big man got a broken hand, mm-hmm. a broken thumb injury recently. They're not terrible losses either when you add in Minnesota's. I mean, you talk about Minnesota, Miami, and Connecticut. They're not bad losses, and they all came away from home. And they're definitely growing experiences. But when you look at a guy like Gary Harris, I mean, he's almost making up Draymond's point production from a season ago. I mean, he's averaging 12 points a game, but he's over 14 if you take away the one game that he played 30 seconds in. So he's really making up for the point production. But I think the rest of it's just a case of guys getting a little older, playing better. Keith Appling's playing better. Derek Nix is starting to heat things up now. Mm-hmm. And so you're seeing those things evidenced in this team, and Adrian Payne's starting to play well. And when you think about all the rebounds that Draymond Green got last year, Adrian Payne and Derek Nix are now starting to pick those things up. I mean, they're both in the top five in rebounding in the conference. So in terms of the way they're playing, I'm not really surprised.
You know, you talk about Adrian Payne and Derek Nix. I mean, if those two guys are both hitting on all cylinders at the same time, and if they're on the court at the same time, that's a lethal 1-2 punch because they're so different. You know, Derek Nix has the beef behind him. Adrian Payne has the length behind him, and the two of them can give teams such different looks.
And all you have to do is look back a couple games ago to the Texas game. I know it seems like it was forever ago since it's coming up on 2 weeks. But, I mean, when you saw Derek Nix, all he did was set up on the low block and use his size and his weight to his advantage and score mm-hmm. all day. And then Adrian Payne came in the second half. And I remember the shot clock was winding down in the second frame. And he got the ball at the top of the key. And he took one dribble, two steps, and threw it down, and he started yeah. from outside the three-point line. And so, like you mentioned, you saw the versatility between those two guys and why there is so much promise still with this team when you consider Derek Nix at 25 points and 11 rebounds. I mean, think about this. Derek Nix averaged 3.8 rebounds last year, and he's up to 7.5 this season, which is third in the Big Ten. Then conversely, Adrian Payne, he averaged just over 4 rebounds per game, and now he's grabbing over almost 7.5 as well, and he ranks 6th in the Big Ten in rebounding. So you're seeing these guys and their ability, but I think when you see a game like Texas in which they combined for 39 points, and, you know, Adrian's were all in the second half, his 13 were in the second half, when you see those things, fans want more. And so I think it's a little maddening sometimes to see the talent that these guys have, but the fact that they don't display it on a game in and game out basis. But I do think we're going to see much more scoring consistency, at least from Derek Nix, from here on out.
We're talking with Adam Ruff from the Spartan Sports Network. Does the pregame, halftime, and postgame on the Spartan games. If you have a phone call or if you have a question for either Adam or myself, call 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR, or you can call toll-free at 877-952-7870. Let's look forward now instead of looking back. You got Purdue coming to the Breslin Center this weekend. This is the Purdue team that you can't really put your finger on. I mean, they've got some good wins, but they've struggled at times too.
Yeah, I mean, they lost to Bucknell first game of the year, and they lost to Eastern Michigan a few weeks ago and when they scored only 44 points. And let's be honest, they're not a very good offensive team. You know, they're averaging, you know, just under 70 points a game, but they shoot under 42%. I think mm-hmm. the field goal percentage is last in the conference. They shoot just 27% from the three-point line. And so what they do in true Matt Painter style is they just try to beat you up. I mean, they play hard, they play physical, and they get a lot of offensive rebounds. They're actually second in the conference in offensive rebounding. And the key to that is their guard play. They have three Johnsons, okay? They have three Johnsons in the backcourt. They all rebound the ball well in addition to DJ Bird. I think the four of them combined average 16 rebounds per game. game. And so they get a lot of their points on second chance opportunities. They also have a freshman, A.J. Hammonds. He's a seven-footer. He's starting, averaging just south of 10 points a game and about six rebounds. So they have guys in there who play hard, and that's the key for them, and that's where their success, any success that they're going to have from here on out, is going to come is from their hard work, because they can't really shoot very well outside of D.J. Bird. And so if you can't beat them up, and that's the style they play. And so it's going to be an interesting game to watch. I mean, you know, they surprise Illinois on the road. I still wouldn't completely buy Illinois yet, despite the fact that they're playing had been playing so well. But you know, I just don't see Purdue posing much more than 20 minutes of a challenge tomorrow. Now, I'm sure I could be completely wrong with that, but I think if you combine how offensively challenged Purdue is with the fact that Michigan State, I'm sure, will be ready to play tomorrow coming off their loss. And I'm just not feeling a whole lot of a big effort from Purdue in terms of keeping the game close in the second half.
Well, the beginning of the Big Ten season is always such a crapshoot, so to speak, because you really don't know what these other guys have based on the schedules that they've played. I mean, you know, we were talking about that at the office yesterday with Michigan. I wasn't convinced that Michigan had played a really great schedule, so maybe their record is a little misleading, and then they go out and they hang that game on Northwestern last night, so maybe they are as good as advertised. But you really don't know where these teams are early on in the conference play.
Yeah, and I think that's why, you know, typically we know where Michigan State is for the most part, because they play some of those bigger teams, and you're starting to see more of that. So you don't necessarily know with a team like Purdue. I mean, when they don't play a tough schedule per se in the non-conference season, and they're still 6-6 when they get through that, it's hard to judge a team like that. And that's probably what happened to Illinois a little bit. But at the same token, you know, Illinois, you know, they beat North Carolina, which a team that's not in the top 25, but is strong based on reputation. They smacked around Butler, who handed Indiana its only loss of the year. But they lost to Missouri, and of course this last game to Purdue. So yeah, like you said, it really is a crapshoot, and we do know. I mean, when you look at this conference, five losses might win this conference, maybe even six. Because I mean, even more so than last year, this conference is just going to beat each other up. I mean, when you consider that this conference is as talented as it's been in quite some time, but when you combine to that the defense these teams play with and the physicality as well, I mean, it's going to get brutal, Scott.
It definitely is. Now, one question that I've asked the other two people who have been on the show here so far today, Rob Woodward and Mo Gerhart, was if they were surprised by anybody so far this season, not necessarily a freshman, but maybe an upperclassman who has raised his game a little bit. How about you? Are you surprised by anything that you've seen on this Spartan basketball team?
Boy, that's a good question, because I don't feel like I'm surprised. I think I was initially with Gary Harris. I mean, because you don't see a lot of freshmen come into Michigan State with the system that Tom Izzo runs, especially offensively. I mean, you got to have a high basketball IQ to succeed offensively and defensively, really, with the switches for Coach Izzo. So initially I was surprised with Gary Harris because, you know, he's a scorer. He drives to the hole fearlessly. Yet he can hit that 15-foot jump shot easily. And now he's really starting to add that three-pointer to his game as well. So I think if there's a surprise for me, it would be Gary Harris, just for the simple fact that he's a freshman. He's playing so well. And if you want to go a step further, the fact that there's two freshmen in the starting lineup for Tom Izzo, that's a bit of a rarity too. And so those are probably the surprises. I feel like maybe Brandon Dawson is a little more negatively. He's not playing bad. I mean, he's averaging nearly 10 points and six rebounds a game, and he's coming off of a torn ACL he suffered in March. So maybe if he wasn't coming off of that torn ACL, I'd be a little disappointed, but you still see with his freak athleticism that you expect so much more. And he's a guy that tomorrow, I think, is going to take a step out in that game versus Purdue, because he was recruited heavily by Purdue. He faced a lot of backlash when Michigan State played at Purdue last year. And he had a pair of strong games against Purdue last year. So I think if there's a guy that maybe could step his game up starting tomorrow for the rest of the season, it would be Brandon Dawson.
All right. Well, Adam Ruff, thanks very, very much for joining us here this afternoon, and we'll be listening for you tomorrow.
Absolutely, Scott. I'll see you back here at the office pretty shortly.
Not too long. Okay, that's Adam Ruff from the Spartan Sports Network, and we are joined now in person by the man who usually sits where I'm sitting on this show. Earl Robinson has come into the studio. Earl, welcome to your show.
Well, thank you. It's a little strange sitting on this side. I never do sit on this side before.
I know. Strange.
Yeah, I just wanted to come in and tell you, Jim, because I know you were a great friend of Jim Adams, too, as well, Scott.
Yeah.
And it was a very nice service, and so many people showed up that, and you know, no one could say a bad word, because everything about Jim was just... He was so nice. He was such a nice person.
Exactly. I mentioned on one of our broadcasts from the Great Lakes Invitational the fact that when I joined the Spartan Network family 21 years ago, Jim Adams was one of the first people to come up and shake my hand and welcome me to the Spartan family, to speak. Just a wonderful, wonderful man.
Yes, he is. And his sons were great, and I talked with them for a while, and his grandkids. And yes, they all missed Jim. Jim was just such a unique person. He never had a bad word to say about anyone.
Never.
You know, because I would say something bad, you know, but he would never, he never would go to my level, I would say.
And he stayed very active after he retired from WKAR. We always saw him at games, and if you were just driving around East Lansing, you'd see him walking everywhere.
Yes, he would. He was very active and very active. He loved Michigan State. I always tell everyone, I said, if there's everyone likes to say they're the best Spartan, but I say to me, Jim Adams was the best,
hands down.
No, not close at all to anyone. Jim was just a great Spartan.
Oh, by all means. So that's where Earl has been today at the memorial service for Jim Adams, and he will be very definitely missed in the community, not just the Michigan State community, but the greater Lansing community.
Right. And he loved theater so much. You know, he was a big theater buff, and we had talked sometime about theater, and he'd tell me about some of the shows he'd go see. But he was a very big, he was just as much a theater buff as he was a sports buff.
Exactly. And Earl, I've got to say, you are dressed very appropriately for a service for Jim Adams, with a green shirt and a Michigan State University tie and even a Spartan baseball cap on. That is Jim Adams right there.
Yeah, that's Jim. Jim loved the Spartans, whether it was baseball, basketball, football. Mm-hmm. He loved them all. He loved, you know, hockey. He loved all the sports. And that's what's so great about Jim. And I used to just wonder, I used to ask him, how do you keep so much stuff in your mind? How do you remember all this stuff? And all he would do is shrug his shoulders. He just didn't. he just could remember everything.
Exactly. Well, he is very definitely missed, and I'm sure it was a wonderful service today, a service of joy for Jim Adams.
Yeah, we've seen Terry Braverman was there, of course. Dave Brown was there, and a lot of our friends. Ernie Boone was there. Mm-hmm. A lot of great Spartans were there to honor Jim Adams, and it was nice. They had a very big crowd there, and it was just a very, very, very good and very humble experience, and seeing all the people who were just giving their accolades and their thoughts of Jim Adams.
Well, we're in the final minute here of the show, and we've talked Spartan hockey, we've talked women's basketball, we've talked men's basketball. What's your take on this men's basketball game against Purdue? This is kind of a big game for them.
Yes, it is. It's going to be a tough game. I think they can pull it out. I mean, but Purdue, you know, you always have to be worried of a dog that's down. And they're down, and they could come up and bite you. But I think Michigan State's going to take care of business.
Well, geez, it's your show. Should you read this last little bit, or should I? I'll hand it to you.
Oh, you hand it to me. Well, you've been listening to radio station WKAR East Lansing. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on AM 870. We want you to come back and join us tomorrow. We want you to have yourself a very safe and pleasant evening, and I look forward to hearing from you tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR. So that's actually that's Monday. I'm still getting confused on all these days.
All right, Earl, thanks for inviting me to take over for you here today.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it.
All right, and we'll talk to you next time. Till then, have fun, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.